views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Mums, a podcast focused on helping you remember who you really are. Today, I'm going to tackle the big and important topic of divine energies. Talking about the divine masculine and feminine is different than talking about gender, but because they intertwine so completely, and our society has developed such strong opinions around these qualities, it has become a bit confusing to unravel. Please hear what I am saying with an open mind and heart so you can pick out the pieces that will have the greatest influence on your life today rather than put your energy into arguing with what is being said. A big part of being a vibrant, powerful being is self-awareness. And these divine energies have a huge influence on how we can thrive in this world. All people need to access both of these energies in order to live a balanced, healthy, and productive life. The amount they need will vary by person, circumstance, and even by current focus, but they both come into play for all of us. I often use the analogy of a river to show people what I mean. Picture a river and for a few moments just focus on the water itself. What words would you use to describe the qualities of the water? When I do this with a live group, they will often come up with words like, well, it's refreshing, it's nurturing, it's playful or fierce. That really depends on which picture of the rivers they're looking at. It's life-giving. It's yielding. You can stick your hand into it. It's creative. It's beautiful. It's fun. These all happen to be divine feminine qualities. Now think about the riverbed, the rock or earth or whatever it is that guides the river. What words might you use to describe it? Again, they often come up with words like, well, it's structured, it's protective, it's strong. As we dig deeper into it, they'll figure out, well, you know what, it's in charge, it's guiding the water, and in that way it's productive, it has a plan. These all happen to describe the masculine. Now picture either of these without the other, and what do you have? A riverbed without water is pretty meaningless. It has nothing to guide, to protect, to focus on. The water without the riverbed is also problematic, because picture that. If you don't have a riverbed, you have overland flooding, right? And so you end up with a swamp. If you picture a field with many little puddles all evaporating because they're not contained or held together in a way that allow them to function, that's really what you get. And then these puddles become stagnant because they're not moving, or they evaporate and disappear without that support. So the water needs the riverbed, and the riverbed needs the water. And so I love to use that as a way to describe how we all need both the divine masculine and the divine feminine. These are energies that we all draw upon in varying amounts in order to really embrace and live our life fully. So here's some words that describe the masculine energy. And if you've done any studying of gender specifics, like cavemen versus cavewomen, you'll notice that some of these words overlap, but this is about masculine energy that we're talking about right now. So here's the words: plan, provide, produce, protect, results focused, honor, respect, guiding, courageous, independent, strong, decisive, stable, calm, in charge, intellectual, competitive, linear, left brain, yang. Masculine energy is outward focused. It's looking outside. It's ruled by thoughts. It's recharged by achievement. It is about doing. Feminine energy. Soft, nurturing, creative, nature, fertile, flowing, open, receiving, unpredictable, flexible, wild, fierce, bubbly, playful, beautiful, wisdom, intuition, collaboration, vulnerability, cyclical, right brain, yin. Feminine energy is inward focused. You look inside. It's ruled by emotions. It's recharged by pleasure. It is about being. Notice, it is the feminine side that opens you up to receive, whether it be money, good health, relationships, to fully engage in pleasure, to build powerful relationships with others, to be compassionate, and to release your optimal creativity. It's worthwhile for all of us to embrace the feminine. But what's our reality? Well, think about our current success model or work model or whatever you want to call it. What kinds of things are valued in our society? Again, when I'm with a live group, the kinds of things that will come up are competition, goal setting, producing results, profit, independence, deadlines. These are all masculine qualities. Our society has raised us to value our masculine, which isn't a bad thing on its own, but it's also labeled much of the feminine as weak or unnecessary. As a result, things like pleasure, emotion, compassion, nurturance, collaboration, which could also be called interdependence because it's about when people work harmoniously together for the good of the whole. So they draw on the obvious and natural strengths of each other to achieve a result. These things are all devalued, downplayed, or ditched. As well, when people are unbalanced, we often get what's called distorted energy. So distorted masculine will become ego-driven or self-focused. Competition will lead to dog-eat-dog kind of thinking, win at all costs. Confidence will become very aggressive, and scarcity mentality will become predominant. There's just not enough, so I better get mine first, you know, that kind of thinking. This worshiping of the divine masculine and disregard for the feminine has thrown our systems way off kilter, leaving most people confused about what the problem even is, never mind knowing how to fix it. It's really hard when you've been raised in something to identify it as a problem. Some of the symptoms of having a society that's out of balance like this are things like people feeling burnt out, disconnected, or dissatisfied, even though they appear to be so successful. You know, they've got it all. They've built a beautiful life. And yet, they're unhappy. They feel inauthentic. They feel disconnected from it. This is especially true for women. Another symptom is relationships are falling apart because you've got two imbalanced people trying to make things work. Now, remember, this is not just about heterosexual relationships. This is about all relationships. We still need to be balanced as individuals so that we can work together. I get a picture in my mind when I think of this of two people sitting on the same side of a teeter-totter and nobody else is on the other side. And these two are kind of looking at each other like going, what are we doing wrong? Like, this just isn't working. This just doesn't feel right. This is not fun. Another symptom are health issues, where you'll have a lot of things like autoimmune diseases, those things that are pretty unexplainable as to why your body is attacking itself, or things like chronic fatigue, where you just don't have any energy and you're not able to replenish your stores. These are things that come up in a society that is imbalanced in this way. Now, just a quick note, this is not about blaming anyone or anything for our imbalance. This is something that has come about as a result of a whole bunch of individual efforts. And I'm not talking about the differences between the cavewoman and the caveman today, but one thing I do want to mention is that part of being a cavewoman meant you needed to be really adaptable. And so women have been really adaptable, and we proved that we can function well, we can achieve, we can do all these masculine energy things, but it has helped to throw us out of balance. So this isn't about pointing the finger at any group. This is about really tuning in so that you can recognize, okay, we need to make a change. We need to do something, and it needs to start with me. So you want to tell your ego to sit if you feel like you want to blame someone, and focus on what you can do to make positive changes from here. So in summary, from what I have just shared with you, here's what we really need to know. Number one, we have a very real problem and it's not going to go away on its own. Number two, it's time for us to take action and start rebalancing things. Do it for your own happiness, for your kids' future, for the survival of us as a species. Choose whichever one speaks the loudest to you, or make up your own good reason. What's important is that you recognize it is time and necessary for us to take action. And number three, even though we're talking about divine masculine and divine feminine energies, this is not a gender issue. Both men and women need to draw on their masculine and feminine energies in a dance that works for them. So where do you start? Well, because we've gone too far into the masculine, many women will actually need to start with a higher feminine component in order to swing back to center. This will often be a challenge since we have fully accepted the masculine model. We've been raised in it, remember. So we see nothing wrong with the way that we're functioning. We don't recognize that this feminine energy is missing. And this is further complicated because we see the feminine as fluffy, extravagant, lazy, ridiculous, unnecessary. And then top it off with the guilty feeling that we get for looking after ourselves, right? Pleasure is very low on our list of things that we must do. Or even putting ourselves first, like self-care. It can be a struggle to start making changes, never mind the amount that is needed when we're feeling this way. So let me just read you a little blurb from something I wrote a while ago. A woman spending too much time in her masculine will typically feel drained, unfulfilled, or depressed, often despite great success, and may struggle with issues such as being considered a control freak, a perfectionist, or just downright scary. We've all met that woman, right? Sometimes she's in the mirror. If you're experiencing any of these, don't wait for a diagnosis, burnout, or relationship breakdown to motivate you to change. Start with a couple of things that truly bring you pleasure and make them a priority. So opening up to the divine feminine is a very personal and wonderful experience. Even if you're a man, remember that there are major benefits to reconnecting with your feminine side and learning how to release the limiting beliefs that hold you back from living in a balanced state. There's no fixed way to start making this reconnection because we're all in different places on our journey. So understand, you cannot do it wrong. It just might take you longer. than it needs to. Okay. So here are some of my favorites based on my book, Standing in Your Power. I have 7 tips that I want to share with you. The first one is to recognize your emotions. Now, this is not a new topic on these podcasts, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But let me just say that one of the things we've done in order to adapt to the masculine model is cut ourselves off from feelings. When you deny what you're feeling, you cut yourself off from your own message system. It is imperative that you tune back into this critical guidance system and recognize it as a way to reconnect with your nurturing and compassionate feminine energy. Emotions are not touchy-feely nonsense that we should only bring out at funerals and weddings. I actually had a crisis team leader tell me that one day. He was partly joking, but at the same time, he also left the room and said, "You guys do the touchy-feely stuff." So, and that was a crisis team leader. Great guy, but holy. So here's a quick tip. Start recognizing emotions as they arise and acknowledge them. If you're not doing this already, then it's important that you start doing it now. So for example, let's say you are really disappointed that you're not going to get to go to the hockey game that you thought you were going to get to go to. You can notice and just say, "I feel your disappointment." Dig deep for the word that would most closely describe what you're feeling. This isn't really about accuracy. It's really about starting to notice the subtle differences in how you feel, as well as how you react to that feeling. It's kind of like if you had 3 identical triplets, let's say. You want to call them by their correct names. You want to figure out what are the little differences between them so that they can be individuals. And the same is true with your feelings. You want to get to know the subtle differences between them. Women experience the world through their emotional body first and intellectual mind second. Men are the opposite. So men have a thought and then they match it with a feeling. Women have a feeling and they match it with a thought. Now, this is a gender difference that I'm talking about. And so it's likely affected by hormones like testosterone or estrogen. So it can vary greatly for us as humans. Having said that, all humans are negatively affected if they numb out or ignore or stuff their emotions. You cannot be a vibrant, powerful person and be numb at the same time. Tip number 2, connect and collaborate. Connecting with others and having significant people in your life is an absolute must for women. Dr. Daniel Amen says, "Men, if you want to live a long life, find yourself a good woman. Women, if you want to live a long life, find yourself a good woman." His point is that women are the connectors. They are the relationship builders. They are the nurturers. We were never meant to stand alone, and you'll find that you can do more easier, faster, and better by connecting with others. Although women can compete with others effectively, connection through collaboration is what strengthens us. Back in the cave days, the women were the gatherers and went out in groups to watch each other's backs, to cover more ground, and to help each other when required. This need hasn't changed. So here's your quick tip. Become aware of how much of your life is based on competition. See if you can recognize the difference between healthy, fun competition, you know, the kind that makes you work harder, do your best work, but it's fun and exciting. And even though you don't like to lose, it's okay if you do. It doesn't ruin your day or your week or your month, right? And compare that to the draining, self-worth-lowering kind of competition that does ruin your day, that does make you feel less than, that makes you feel like giving up, like you're just not worthy. And then if you find there's a lot of that or even any of the negative competition, cut out or at least decrease those competitive aspects from your life. Try to look at things from a collaborative point of view instead. That means looking at how can we best work together for the good of the whole. So for example, if you have a nice yard and your neighbor has a really nice yard and you find that you're kind of competing with the neighbor to have a nicer yard, his tree is now bigger than yours, so you want to order in a bigger tree. rather than use that competitive model, which in the end means somebody loses, when you switch to collaborating, you start thinking, okay, what's important here is that we both are helping to make this block look nicer. We are both feeding to the aesthetics of the block. My tree is shorter than his tree, and that's a good thing because you need both short and tall. You need a variety of different heights. So you're looking at that collaborative piece, the good of the whole, rather than it being a competition. When you're driving, same thing, rather than feeling like, oh, that guy's going to come into my lane, get out of my lane, you know, and you're trying to speed up, or he's trying to pass you, so you're speeding up so he can't get in your lane. Instead, you shift your thinking to, okay, we're a team. We all want to get to our destination safely and as quickly as possible. How can I help to make that happen? Oh, you can come in my lane, buddy. Okay. You know, and you slow down for him and you let somebody in and this kind of thing. Now, obviously, you don't need to let everybody in or you will be late for work and then you're going to blame me. But what I want you to get from this is when we collaborate, we're in a whole different mindset than when we're competing. So when you start practicing this in your life, whether you're at exercise class, whether you're driving, whether you're looking at your yard compared to the neighbors, you'll start to notice that when competition lowers and collaboration comes in, that it's a much more warm and fuzzy feeling. It doesn't have that must-win sort of feel to it. Tip number three, the pleasure of movement. Now, this is two pieces, pleasure and movement. What I want to talk about here is about movement. Movement is extremely important to our bodies and helps to keep feminine energy flowing. Think of that bubbly, playful river flowing along without care or concern. It's that feminine energy. So if you feel stuck and need a refresher, find a corner for yourself and dance, sway, or reconnect with Mother Earth, because remember that nature is part of the feminine energy. Your quick tip, a wonderful way to awaken your body and reconnect with the feminine, is to remove your shoes and walk barefoot on the earth. Take a walk down a sandy beach, across a lawn, or down a dirt path. It's not really great for freshly polished toenails, but it's worth it. Number four, conceive, dream, create. Creativity flows from the feminine and allows the feminine to flow. Take risks, try new endeavors. Feminine energy loves an adventure. There's no bounds to what you can come up with when you believe in yourself and are willing to dream. So create for the pleasure of it without care of the result. You may end up with something really amazing, but if so, that's a bonus. It's not the purpose behind your endeavor. When we focus on the result, we're pulling on the masculine. Quick tip, if you've always liked to sing, play an instrument, daydream, draw, or paint, but maybe you've been told that it's a waste of time, you're not good enough at it, you're not ever going to make it on The Voice, so why do it? It's time to let go of that way of thinking and instead do it now for the pleasure of it. Your feminine energy, just for an example of how this works, it conceives of the idea and then it plays with that desire and it awakens your creative spark to make it happen. Then your masculine energy comes in and it plans, executes, and delivers the results. Tip number five, tap into your intuition. Listen to your intuition. Pay attention when you know something's right or feel strongly that you should go somewhere or avoid something. So here's your quick tip. Notice those moments when you say aloud or just in your own head, "Oh, I knew this was going to happen. Why didn't I listen?" Those are examples of when you heard your intuition, but you ignored it. By acknowledging these moments, you can turn up the volume so that the next time you might get to respond with something like, "Oh, that's exactly why I brought the umbrella. Even though rain wasn't in the forecast, I sensed we might need it." And it could be that you need it because, you know, it's too sunny out and you need it for that. Or maybe there's a leak above your desk and you need to use the umbrella to save your computer, right? Your intuition is a beautiful guide when you let it be. Number six, open yourself up to receive. Imagine what it would be like if the river refused to receive the rain or to open up to the guidance of the riverbed. Until you're able to receive gracefully and joyfully, you will struggle to become balanced. Receiving is not a sign of weakness. It's actually one of trust, strength, and self-care. To receive, you must allow yourself to be vulnerable, which is, in turn, a critical part of shifting into feminine energy flow. I know it sounds strange, but it's absolutely true. Once again, if you think about the river, the water has no idea where it's flowing to. It simply has to open up and trust the riverbed to take it where it needs to go. So here's your quick tip. One way to practice this idea is to make a point of asking for help with something on a regular basis. If you don't let people help you with things right now, you just do it all yourself, then start to ask for some help. Number 7, fill yourself up first. Right on the heels of opening up to receiving is taking the time to look after yourself. The river is not strengthened through deprivation, and neither is the feminine. So be very careful about doing things like fasting or not getting enough sleep or overworking. Those kinds of things are very hard on both the female body, but also on the feminine energy. It's okay, of course, to be healthy and fit. That's important. But you want to make sure that it makes you feel strong in many different ways. So here's your quick tip. Simple things like taking time for yourself, getting enough sleep, getting out in the sunshine, quieting your mind, dancing, singing, laughing, loving touch. They're all examples of things you might do to refill your tank. Insist on time for self-care and avoid martyring yourself for your family. You'll find your families happier when you're feeling strong. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.